Amen. If you would grab your Bibles, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is where we'll be. I was not planning on preaching at this moment, but the Lord changed it up, so here it is. Acts chapter 20. We are probably all familiar. I think we'd all be familiar with this, what's happening right here, right? Paul is getting ready to go back to Jerusalem, and he's being warned, but he makes this statement in verse number 24, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He makes this statement here. He says that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. His statement is, I want to finish with joy. I want to get the job done. We know at the end of the life of Jesus Christ, of course, he's at Calvary and he ends with, "It is finished." He's talking about the work that his Father had given him to do. We know at the end of the life of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, he makes that statement, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And so I got talking with actually Brother Jeff earlier today, and he and I were talking, and the first thing he said to me was, "I guess the Lord's not done, I'm not finished." And scary because he thought he was. Find out that, you know, they gave him that clot buster injection, you know, that they do when you're dealing with those things. And, of course, his son Caleb, medical and all the background and stuff, tells his dad later, he says, "Yeah, about 12% of people who get that die from the shot. They don't even die from the rest because it's so potent that it trying to push everything out and clean it up and, you know, do all these things." And so he said, "So you know, everything's great." And Brother Jeff says, I guess I'm not done. And I thought, you know, just that kind of thought came into my mind. I had something else that I had worked on for a different moment, but he made that statement. And all I thought was, you know, how many of us, as we get down to the end of the year, think we finished what we were supposed to finish this year? How many projects do we have left undone? How many things that the Lord wanted us to get done, we just kept putting off? And so I'm just going to kind of look at a few things tonight. I don't think I'm going to preach super long, and we'll head over next door and hopefully have a good time if you can stay. And if you're, I don't know what the weather's going to do. I have no idea, but it does the weatherman. So whatever the Lord wants you to do, do that, all right? And just stick around as long as you'd like, and we'll pray in the new year. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we thank you for the night. I thank you, Lord, for your marvelous goodness and your grace and your sufficiency, Lord, for us. Lord, last day of the year, Father, 366 days this year, Lord, and I just thank you for your goodness and your mercies to us. Father, we're here and we're together and we're looking to you once again, Father, as we leave 2025 behind and step into 2026, we pray you would just bless us and protect us. Lord, guide us in everything that we do. Lord, I pray you would just bless us once again. Be with the message. Lord, help me to say what I ought to say, nothing more, nothing less. Father, I pray that Jesus Christ be praised. And Lord, you'd help us to remember maybe some things we ought to get on the docket quickly, Lord, for 2026 so we can please you. Lord, once again, we love you and I pray you'd come back soon in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As far as Acts chapter 20 goes, he's talking about this, that I might finish my course with joy. And I got thinking, you know, the Lord's probably told you some things that you probably should have done. And maybe there's some things you've left undone that you're remembering tonight. And I'm just going to try and jog your memory. Maybe there's some things that you maybe even told the Lord. You vowed a vow and you said, "Hey, I'm going to do that and I'm going to take care of that this year." And here we are. It's the last day. I mean, we've got 4 hours. 4 hours till the end. And that's it. 2025 will be in the books. You got anything undone? Anything you haven't finished that you were supposed to finish? Now, there's things that we're always working at, right? I mean, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We all got things we're working on, and that's a never-ending process, right? We're always learning. We're always supposed to be growing. We're always supposed to be studying. We're always supposed to be learning more and doing more, and there's always somebody else that we need to talk to or something we need to change, and none of us have arrived. I mean, Paul makes that certainly plain in Philippians, where he hasn't attained, neither were already perfect, and he's pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. But there's certain things that we could have taken care of this year that maybe we didn't. And I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping maybe you're thinking about it and you're like, I don't really know of anything yet. But here's the first question. Paul makes the statement here. He says, he ends it with, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He continues on about how he is going to go and preach the kingdom of God. And he's talking about being a witness and being a testimony and doing all those. Probably the biggest question that I have, and maybe the biggest question that you have, is did I witness to everybody I was supposed to witness to? Is there anybody I missed that I was supposed to give the gospel to that maybe I could have been better, or maybe I could have said something this year, and maybe I have never said anything to them before? Is there somebody in your mind where you say, boy, I wish I would have done that, and you didn't go back and make up for it? We all have missed opportunities. I'm not talking about that necessarily. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know the spots you've missed somebody. And afterwards you look back and you're like, ah, that one was an easy opening right there. I missed it. I had my chance and I didn't take it. We've all got those. We've all got those kind of regrets. I mean, do you have anybody that you know, some point you should have been witnessing to them and you just hadn't said a thing? You've been quiet. Whether it's a coworker, somebody at school, somebody at work, somebody, you know, that you're just been friends with, one of your neighbors, one of your acquaintances that you've been starting to talk to, and you still haven't given the gospel. I hope that's not the case, but maybe there's somebody out there, you know, I should have, at 2025's ended, and they should have had the gospel before today. Well, we need to go ahead. Maybe you make that a priority for tomorrow. Maybe you get it before the night's out. Be early enough, you might be able to call and say something. But the truth is, there may be somebody in your list where, you know what, I didn't get to finish that this year. And I need to make sure that I put it at the top of the list for next. So maybe you've got a name that you've got in mind that you think, boy, I ought to get them the gospel. All right, well, we're on the last day. We gave out Bible reading calendars. I'm just going to kind of throw some things out there tonight. This isn't anything fancy. I just want you to think for a few minutes. And we're finishing up Bible reading calendars. Maybe you said at the beginning of last, or at the end of last year and start of this year, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to finish all of it. I'm going to get it done. Did you finish? Or is that another one of those where it's left undone and you started and you didn't get to finish? All right. Well, tomorrow's a new day. It's a new year. And start again. Some people, I'll be honest, some people, they get to Exodus and that's as far as they get, if they make it that far. I always talk about Exodus. I think that's probably in the Old Testament, that's probably the first hard book to get to. And it's not necessarily the names that get you in Exodus, it's the building of the temple that gets you in Exodus. Right? The tabernacle and this and all the measurements, and then they got to do it, and then they repeat the next thing, like, and they did this, and they repeat the whole thing all over again. And you're like, ooh, this is a little tedious, right? It's a little tedious. I'll admit that. I'm not going to say that it's easy reading all the time in the Bible. But boy, we quit a little too easy sometimes. And some of us have all gotten to the spot. We've probably, almost everybody in here has probably quit at one point or another reading their Bible, had to either catch up or try and fix it or try again and start it over and try to remember. Okay, well, it's another year. Try again. Finish. Get it in once. I would be pretty sad if I had to stand before Jesus Christ and tell him that I never read the book that he gave me. At the end of your life, you just stand, well, I gave you one book, and that's all I needed you to know, and you never even read it. Well, I hope you finish it. Finish it once, at least. I'd encourage at least finishing it once a year. I don't think it's too hard to do, but maybe you do. I'd encourage you to do it. Read it. All right. Well, Say, what else could I have finished? I think maybe you could have finished up something that the Lord told you to get out of your life. You know, there's some things that we do that the Lord doesn't want us to have. There's some sin in our lives. There's some things He made us. And we said, okay, Lord, I'll change that. I'll stop doing that. All right, did you get it out? Did you actually get it out, or is it still kind of kicking around in there and it's still... I'm not saying it's not a, you know, it's no longer a temptation. You have perfect victory and all. That's not what I said. Most of the things that we struggle with, you talk about, we talk about in the addictions program and those kind of things. It's something we have to defend against because that's a weakness to us. So there's always going to be a temptation there for a very long time, if not for the rest of our lives, because it's a weak spot. So then the question is, well, did I keep it out? Did I finish that? Did I get that out and keep it? And am I still in a good position with the sin and the things that the Lord told me to get out? See, He wants us to have that victory. He wants us. So is there anything He told you to do and you said, okay, I'll stop that. I can do that. I can keep that out of my life. Or did you not finish that and it's still sitting there waiting? Well, I'll start it on Monday. I'll start it as a New Year's resolution. I'll start it. Yeah, but did you finish it? Is it out or is it still hanging in there? I'm just wondering. I'm just asking. You know, there's some things He told you to add to your life. Some things He told you to start doing. Maybe it was starting to go out on street ministry. Maybe it was to be more faithful to Sunday school, or maybe it was to go and work in a ministry, or help out in the nursery, or help out with junior church, or help out with one of the Friday night things. Or maybe the Lord said, hey, you know what, I think you ought to maybe be a little bit more involved in some things. Start doing something. Maybe you've never been big on carrying gospel tracts with you. Maybe He told you to grab some tracts and be faithful to doing that. And maybe He asked, you say, I don't, you know. Okay. Did you add it? Have we added what He asked us to add this year? At the end of the year, are you sitting here on the last night of the year going, Lord told me to do that, and I told Him I'd add it, but I never really... We're really good at telling the Lord that we'll do things or stop doing things. But actually doing those things, those are two very different things. They honor me with their lips and they praise me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. Hearers of the word and not doers. That's troublesome. And we go, okay, well, all right, how about this? Have you forgiven everybody you're supposed to forgive? That's a hard one right there. Why is that a hard one? Because that's one that I think is a continual thing for us. Some days we forgive them, and then the bitterness starts trying to climb back in there a little bit. We've got to go, no, I've forgiven that. And Lord, you got to forgive me for not leaving it forgiven. One of the hardest things that we deal with is forgiveness, bitterness. It's a root that's in and it's ingrained itself into our lives. And Satan is very good at taking that bitterness and that unforgiveness and gaining advantage of us, Corinthians. Okay, well, can you forgive? Say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Okay, well, that's not forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying they have to have the same place in your life, and I'm not saying that... You know, you just forgive and then everything's sunshine and roses again and everything is wonderful, and that's not what I mean. I mean, if somebody's stealing, you know, all of your stuff, you don't have to let them back in your house after you forgive them. All right? You don't have to just give them access to your bank account. Okay? That's not what that is. The answer is, hey, I can forgive you and we are good and I don't have to treat you poorly just because. You can have forgiveness. I think the trouble is that sometimes we're still holding grudges long after God said, okay, you're supposed to forgive that. And I know some things are difficult to forgive, and I'm not trying to minimize the idea of being able to forgive some hard things, but if the Lord told you, all right, it's time, you can forgive now, well, then maybe you need to start forgiving. let go of those things. Amazing, we're really good at wanting God to forgive us. And we can do some of the worst things in the world to Him. I'm going to try not to make this sound terrible, but it's how he describes it. When Israel chooses to go ahead and worship other gods and put anybody before God, that's spiritual adultery. Right? All right, how many times do we let other gods get in the way? How many times does he not have preeminence in our lives? Right? See the comparative. Okay, now you've been espoused to one, that'd be Christ, as the church, and now we've allowed things in the way. All right, well, the Lord forgives you of that, doesn't he? Okay, well then what can you not forgive? That's the equation he gives us. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That doesn't sound very easy. Yeah, it's not easy on him. But it's also not easy on us. And he expects us to forgive. That's one of the main things that we are supposed to understand, that the devil can utilize and manipulate in our lives. Unforgiveness that can cause us to have problems and can cause it so that Satan can have advantage, not of the person we're against, advantage of us. I'm going to hold on to my bitterness and my anger. Okay, well then Satan has advantage over you for holding on to those things. It's not hurting the other person, it's hurting you and your walk with God. That's why forgiveness is such a key to the Christian walk. Is there anybody left you haven't forgiven that maybe before the stroke of midnight, you may need to get that done tonight? I don't know. Witnessing, reading, sin getting out of your life, new things coming into your life, ways you can minister, ways you can work, ways you can do things, some new things in your life that way. Forgiveness. All right. How about this? How about people? People you're not supposed to have in your life. There are people you're not supposed to keep. You can forgive them and not keep them around. That's one of the biggest things with addictions and addicts that we talk about and we deal with. It's very simple. The people around you influence what you're going to do. And if they're going to influence you poorly, you have to forgive them and then go, okay, I don't need to let you do all those things to me still. We talk about conditioning. We talk about Satan and how people are taken captive by him at his will. And he uses certain things in our lives to put us in the same track that we always seem to go in. And so there's people that cause that. There's places that cause that. There's things that cause that. Memories, songs, music, smells, all these things. But there's certain people, you get around certain people and you automatically begin to behave a certain way that you wouldn't behave normally until you're around them. There's some sort of a spiritual thing that goes on, and there's a connection there. And then when that happens, you kind of flip into whatever weird, awful thing you don't want to be. Okay, well, you say, what do you got to do? You got to start minimizing that relationship. If the Lord needs you to say no to that, then you need to go ahead and put that down. Find ways to distance that. Now you say, well, some of it's relatives and some of it's friends and some of it's close people. Well, friends, those can change real quick. Family, you just have to minimize the damage they're doing as best you can. I think the hardest spot probably for is parents to children and children to parents. That's a hard one. You say, how do you cut your family that much, you know, and distance? And if you're younger in here, you're stuck with the parents you've got. If you're older in here, you're stuck with the children you've got. You got to work some of that out. And say, what do I got to do? You got to do what the Lord told you to do. I can't tell you exactly what you need to do on every instance. But you and the Lord, maybe the Lord's told you some things and you need to finish what he told you to finish. Get done what needs to get done. Because you want to finish your course with joy, I would hope. What greater joy is there than to know that your children walk in truth? Right? Isn't that John, right? 1 John, no greater joy. Well, no greater joy from the Lord than you do what He commands you. And so we're working on doing what He commanded and finishing what He asked us to finish. Now we can do a bunch of individual examples. I'm trying to do some broad strokes so you get the idea of what we're looking at. Is there anything you've left undone that you should have finished? Now we've all, you know, winter comes and we all have that same mentality, right? We've got too many things to get done before the snow comes and we're trying to cram it all in to get it done before it gets here and it's too late. But in the Christian life, for us, most of the time we don't have the same urgency. We just assume we always have tomorrow. Say, well, I'm getting older now. Okay, well, maybe you're counting your days a little bit more than somebody else would. But most of us, even when things aren't quite as smooth, our answer is still presuming upon the mercies and the goodness of God that we probably do have tomorrow still. Most of the time, people can assume that tomorrow I'm still going to be here. And I always have more time. But we already know we're not guaranteed more time. If the Lord wants to take me tonight, He'd take me tonight. And so Dr. Ruckman used to have a saying, and he'd say it quite often. I think he got it from Bob Jones. And I've said it here. I like it. It's one of my favorite quotes. And it's, if you finish today where you're supposed to finish, you'll start tomorrow where you're supposed to be. Always end the day where you're supposed to be. That's a good rule. If I finish today and get done everything the Lord asked me to get done, then tomorrow I'm in the right spot. I'm set up for success tomorrow. All of us, I don't know how, this couldn't be a universal truth, but all of us in our fleshly nature and in what we normally would want, we end a day most times, a bunch of times, where we feel behind, like I didn't get enough done today. But if you know that you finished everything the Lord asked you to do today, there's nothing more that needs to be done. And maybe you're ending today, and maybe tonight you'll be done. It'll hit midnight, and you know what you'll say? You'll say 25 is done, and I finished everything I was supposed to finish. I hope so. But for the vast majority, we've got some things we didn't finish up. And I would dare say they should be top of the list for 2026. Maybe you've got some things that you wish and you know the Lord wishes you would have finished. I mean spiritual things. I'm not talking about the addition on the house and the, you know, fixing this and fixing and wishing I would have. I'm talking about the Lord had some things for you to change, some things to do, some things to finish. And you let some other stuff distract you. And now here we are, it's the end of the year, and they're not done. Now, thankfully, tomorrow is a new day. And we get to start again. And we get to go again. We get to try again. And so, really, we're not done unless He takes us all home tonight. But as long as we're still breathing, as long as we still have time, we have time to finish what He's asked us to finish. But I'll say this. Don't delay on the things you know you have to finish. I can be a very good procrastinator when I want to be. And I think you can too. There's things that are uncomfortable. So we go, I don't really want to deal with that right now, so I'm going to put that off. There are things, I could change that. Maybe in the spring I'll... And we find a way to kind of just delay it a little bit longer. Let's quit doing that. Let's quit procrastinating. Let's quit putting it off. Okay, the Lord says, hey, I want you to get this done. Okay, let's finish that. Because amazingly, when we finish that, He's probably got something else that we can do and it'll be even better. So if we could finish everything we're supposed to in 2025... we'd start 2026 right where we're supposed to. But many people, they're going to end 2025 behind because they didn't finish. And so now they're trying to catch up right at the beginning so they can be close to God again. They're trying to cram everything in at the last moment when God said, I had plenty of time for you. Some of us made some things and we talked about doing some things in last December. We talked about what we could do in January. We made some resolutions and we just didn't finish them. Okay, let's not put it off this time. Let's finish. Because I'm with Paul here, and I think you'd be too, that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry. He wants to finish the course and the ministry, the job he was given. And we're closing up 2025. I hope you're finishing everything God asked you to finish. And if not, get it as the first thing to start with 2026. Get it done. He's coming soon. Brother Jeff and I were talking. And I'll end with this just real quick. I'll be done slightly early. Not much early, but slightly. He and I were talking about how close we probably have to be to the rapture. And we were talking about it, and neither one of us are saying it's 2026. But I have never seen so many things on a worldwide stage that are lined up as well as we are right now. Say, is he coming in 2026? I'm not going to tell you he is, but boy, he could. You realize the wonder that Israel could make sacrifices. They're already in the position they can make sacrifices. They don't need, Brother Jeff and I were talking, you realize that when David bought the threshing floor, he started making sacrifices without a temple set up. When he comes in, he just starts making sacrifices. Ezra comes back, sacrifices. There's no temple up. There's no building up. There's none of that. Sacrifice. You know what all they need? All they need to do is bring it out and start making sacrifices. And it's good to go. Now, there's nothing left for the church to be able to get out of here. So if you're thinking, well, I can just keep putting it off and eventually I'll get to it, there must be much more urgency now. Christian, I don't think we've got a lot of time. So if you've got some things left undone, maybe now's the time to come and say, God, help me to get that done. I have not finished what you asked me to finish. We'll have a quick invitation tonight. Maybe you just need to come close out the last service and say, God, I'm sorry I didn't finish that. I'm sorry I didn't tell so-and-so. I'm sorry I didn't get that out of my life. I'm sorry I didn't start doing that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put that in. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to change. I'm going to get them. I'm going to start working to keep them from doing that to me in my life. I'm going to try and make the changes I've told you I would make. The changes you told me to make. I'm going to start doing. I'm going to finish because I so desperately want to finish well. Finish my course with joy. The Apostle Paul saw his finish line, but not everybody gets to see it. That's why if you finish today where you're supposed to, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Father, I do pray you would bless us tonight. Help us to finish our year out, finish our course with great joy. I thank you that you are merciful and you're gracious to us. I thank you that you do want us to succeed and you want the best for us. And I pray, Father, you would help us to do everything we ought to do so that we can please our Savior. I pray at the end of our lives we'd be able to say, I finished my course with joy. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.